Well, welcome everyone. Glad to be here. My name's Tim Reset. Thanks for welcoming me in today. We're going to be talking about fib retracements and specifically how I use and draw fib retracements and then use them on the E-mini futures. But we'll be talking about kind of some general principles that you can use and apply to many different time frames, different markets. So whether you're trading futures or trading individual stocks or even using options, you can use the techniques that I'm going to talk about. And I'll put some, I'll talk specifically about some of the entries and ways that I manage my E-mini futures trades as well. So, like I said, my name is Tim Reset and I blog over at E-mini Mind. So you can find out more about me over there. A little bit of an outline, and then we'll get into some of the meat and potatoes here. But I want always like to start with a little bit of some of the market structure basics. So, even if you're a veteran trader, it's nice to go back just kind of like a football team would every fall or every summer before the fall season. You kind of go back to the basics, work on your blocking and tackling. So we want to work on just making sure we have a good foundation and reminder of some of our market structure basics, like the swing highs and swing lows. And even if you're only looking at an intraday time frame, like if you're only focused on day trading, there's some things you can pick out from just even once a week or a couple times a week looking at the daily chart to identify some of those swing highs and swing lows that can then come into play as we're going about our intraday time frame. So then we'll get into drawing fibs, talk about the different types of retracements that, you're probably familiar with, like the traditional retracement, and then when an extension might come into play. We'll also talk about some of the specifics when it comes to the ES and different places you can put your stop and execute those trades and how I go about managing those trades as well. So for those that are unfamiliar with E-mini Mind or myself, I have spent the better part of, I guess, 15 years now trading. And I grew up in the Chicagoland area, so I had a lot of exposure and opportunity to get, downtown to the Board of Trade. And I got my start swing trading, but then after going downtown to the trading floor in the pits and getting introduced to some folks down there, they that was kind of my introduction to E-mini or to the futures markets, and they kind of pushed us towards the E-minis and the online trading. This was early to mid 2000s, and that really got me. They got me connected to some folks that had been trading online, since the late 80s, and they were doing ES trading and S&P futures trading. So, even in back in the early 2000s, the pits were really drying up, and people were standing around the pits at their terminals and doing technical analysis on the computer and then just going into the pits to place trades. So, as a young early 20s or late teens, I suppose, early college, making a career downtown the trading floor was not really as appealing, because those they were kind of drying up. So, definitely had a lot of opportunities to be exposed to trading in the Chicago area. So, if you're in a New York or a Chicago or a Philly, take advantage of being able to not just go to like the exchanges, but a lot of times there's trader meetups and groups that you can, meet other traders in person. And I had one specific friend who we kind of grew up, went about our trading journey together. And it was actually his connection down at the Board of Trade that got us to go down and spend some time down there. And that was really beneficial to kind of walk with somebody and be able to just talk through your trades and talk through different challenges and things like that. So, not really, the technical side of trading, but some of this stuff that's, maybe just surrounds your trading as far as having good people on the bus, so to speak, surrounding you. That really does help and can extend your trading career. And a lot of you have probably run a business or high level management or doctors, lawyers, things like that. What good people can do for you. So, like I said, I got started swing trading and then I moved to day trading. So now I do both, swing trading and day trading. And you can use retracements, Fibonacci on all different time frames, down to the smallest time frame up to the largest time frame. So whether you swing trade or day trade, it's all good stuff. And swing trading and day trading really make a good pairing. A lot of people like to go right to the day trading because there's no pattern day trading rule with futures, and you can get in with a small account. It seems to be a little bit more exciting, but at the same time, you can do a lot with even a relatively small swing trading account. $20,000 to $30,000, you can swing trade and be a lot more hands off during the day. And if you are, working a more traditional job or just don't want to be in front of the screen all day, you can draw up your retracements and set some orders and at least have your entries and kind of exits already lined out for you by the time the morning rolls around. And then you can manage those trades, just at the close every day. And you don't have to be super active intraday if you don't want to. So don't think that the only way to trade is to day trade. So I've had the pleasure of speaking in a number of these expos and contribute to the CME and speak at traders expos and things like that. So it's always nice to get out in person and as well as do these virtual events. And then outside of trading, I like to spend a lot of time outdoors. So originally I'm from the Chicagoland area, and then now I'm I kind of bounce back between live in Scottsdale, Arizona for like 8 9 months of the year, and then the summer go up to the Black Hills in South Dakota. So I do a lot of mountain biking and hiking, and if the more time you can spend outside away from the computer, ironically, the better your trading will be, and the more focused you'll be, the more you can solve problems. And if you're just beating your head against the wall with you're stuck on something, or you're just kind of in a rut with your trading, or maybe it's been kind of a rough week, the more you can get outside and get away from trading and then come back and have a new day, fresh start, you will do so much better than trying to sit there and dig yourself out of a hole that you may have dug in the morning and try to trade yourself out that very day in the afternoon. You most of the time just end up digging yourself a bigger hole. So, getting outside, hiking and exploring, even if it's just going for a quick walk around the block, or stepping outside and refilling your coffee and walking out in the backyard for 30 seconds, kind of breaking up your trading. Even if it's a winning trade, just getting up from your computer, walking outside for 30 seconds and coming back. There's few occurrences where I'm exiting a trade and then immediately, flipping it the other direction or getting in a new trade. So, at the very least, if you do, get stopped out, just get up, walk outside 20, 30 seconds, walk back in, sit back at your computer. Okay, we're ready to go again. And just breaking it up a little bit like that can be really helpful. And then the last thing I'll say before we get into some of the specifics on fibs is that if you can break up your trading year into almost like a sports season, you can really extend your kind of limit your fatigue, just like a pro sports team has an off season. If you can schedule in breaks throughout the year, especially around, Christmas and New Year's is typically pretty slow. Times around the Fed meeting announcement, I typically don't trade those Wednesdays when the meeting announcement's coming out. Expiration, you get the four futures expirations each year, every quarter, and those weeks can be a little bit wonky where you have both contracts trading. And so if you're going to be planning trips and vacations or long weekends, 4th of July time is a great time to do that too, because it's typically broken up in the middle of the week. So if you can plan those breaks ahead of time, it will keep you from burning out. And then, if you kind of take a little break every quarter around expiration, you kind of prevent yourself from digging yourself into a big hole or spiraling out of control. And so you can do things like setting weekly loss limits and daily loss limits to, prevent yourself from blowing up your account, or just maybe the market's just kind of having an off week and your setups aren't clicking super well, and that's okay. And so if Monday, take a stop out or two, and Tuesday you come back and you're just, another stop out right out the gate, and you're just not really seeing things that well, and the market's super messy looking, it's okay to, take next couple of days off and come back new week, fresh start. It will be we're talking doing this for the long run over many, many years. Most folks aren't coming to trading, making two or three trades, or trading for 6 months and turning 5,000 into a million and then quitting trading. So if you want to do this for the long run, those are some things that can help with preventing burnout and just continuing your sort of general trajectory of taking your net worth, up and to the right, as I like to say. So let's talk a little bit about some Fibonacci basics and then how I use it and how you can apply it to your own trading. So for the Fibonacci sequence that the retracements are based off of, if you never looked into it, just kind of the basics are, it takes the sum of two numbers next to each other. So you have zero and one. And so you add those two together and then you get one. And then you take one and one, you add those together and you get two. Two and one, you get three. And that's what makes up, all these, what seems like random numbers, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34. It's just taking the number prior and adding it to it. And then that's what continues on the sequence. And so when you take these, when you take these numbers and then you kind of build out the golden ratio, as we'll get to here in a second, that's where you start to see a lot of these patterns in nature and all over the place. So Leonardo of Pisa is kind of that Fibonacci founder, if you will, or he was an Italian mathematician and kind of put all this together. And so this golden ratio is 0.618. You've probably seen it on, like, the perfect looking face and the perfect shaped flower, and in nature, all of these patterns where you have these kind of spiral 0.618 ratios relative to, the larger whole. That is, that 0.618 comes from dividing one number in the series by the following number. So you take, any two numbers next to each other and just divide them into each other, 5 by 8, 13 by 21, 34, 55. That's what gets that golden ratio. So all of them make that same 0.618. So knowing that, it doesn't really help us trade any better, but it's just some kind of foundations of how some of these numbers and ratios come about. And a lot of times the things that happen in the market are all based on those two emotions of fear and greed, and the repetition of similar patterns that happen over and over again. And just like you have business cycles and expansions and contractions and recessions and depressions, all of these things happen over and over again, and these same emotions, fear and greed, come back into play. And so sometimes some of this stuff becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's all fueled by those two basic emotions of fear and greed. So we'll start with identifying the trend, and then we'll pull in the Fibonacci retracements into how to apply those with identifying whether there is a trend or there's not a trend. And so you want to start by, identifying a low risk entry point. As a trader, you need some kind of edge. And so identifying where are the best places to get in is going to be kind of step one. So, basic uptrend, higher highs and higher lows, pretty easy to spot, even if you don't have a bunch of indicators or trend lines drawn on your chart. Just kind of picking out some of the swing highs and then looking at the next swing high and or the next high in general. And if you're getting high after high after high, and the lows are getting higher, 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 okay, you're in a clear uptrend. And so if you look at a daily chart, a lot of times you go a couple weeks or a couple months in an uptrend or in a downtrend. And so if you can just kind of keep an eye on, or maybe make a mark on the chart for where's the most recent swing high and the most recent swing low, then you can at least keep the context of, okay, the daily chart is in an uptrend. So if I'm trading intraday, if I want to be going with the larger trend, I know that it's an uptrend. And as soon as we break a swing low, then I know that series of higher highs and higher lows, you know, the basic stuff that all traders know. As soon as we break a swing low, then that uptrend is now violated and breaking down. So flip side, downtrend, lower highs and lower lows. So we can just look at the chart, find the swing highs, identify that, hey, they're making lower highs and lower lows after each other. And so if we break a swing high in a downtrend, then, oh, hey, red flag. We're changing that trend, or that trend is like in jeopardy of breaking here. And so those are the points that I really like to focus on, those changes in trend, to where if you're on a smaller time frame, those trend changes are going to show up much sooner. Like if you're on a 1 minute chart or a 5 minute chart, you're going to see a swing high break much quicker than if you're on a weekly chart or a monthly chart. It's going to take a lot longer for that change in trend to kind of shift, kind of like a train leaving a station. If you're standing, you know, 200 yards away, it's going to be harder for to see that train start moving. But if you're standing a foot away from the tracks, you're going to see the very starting the wheels starting to turn if you're standing that close. So just know that, you know, with smaller time frames come faster speed. Sometimes you get a little bit more noise in a smaller time frame. So kind of finding a middle ground, or at least leaning on a larger time frame to help keep an eye on that trend is really beneficial. So if we know that higher highs and higher lows is an uptrend, and then lower highs and lower lows is a downtrend, it's that point where, like I said, we break a swing high, we break a lower high, and then we start to make that new trend. So if we're in a downtrend, and one exercise that's really, really helpful is to just physically print out like a 5 minute chart of, you know, the ES or whatever market you like to trade, or even a daily chart, and just go through and mark the swing highs and swing lows and how they correspond to each other. You know, LH, lower high, LL, lower low, HH, HL, just little annotations. And then you can go through and mark up, okay, this last couple months we were in an uptrend. Here's a downtrend. Oh, look at this. Here's really just no trend. We're just kind of going sideways. And the better you can visually identify up, down, sideways markets, whether it's a daily or an intraday time frame, then when those trends are starting to form, you'll be better equipped to identify the start of those trends earlier. So you're not sitting there waiting, waiting, waiting. A lot of times what happens is, you know, you hear all this stuff about, you know, recession, depression, and how bad the economy is going to be. You know, just take this year, for example. Nobody probably thought we were going to be up, you know, at this point, 30 some percent. And so if you just focus in on the chart and look for these points where we go from lower high, lower low, lower high, lower low, and then we break that lower high, we break that swing high, and we pull back and put in a higher low. Now you can say, ah, we are at the very early sign of, at this point, a new uptrend. And you can get in that trend early. And by the time the masses discover, hey, we're in a clear uptrend with higher highs and higher lows, you know, you're already in and you're just continuing to go along for the ride. So when it comes to drawing retracements, you know, obviously we're using the Fib retracement tool. It's not a proprietary thing. It's just, you know, every platform pretty much has it. You always want to be drawing from left to right. So sometimes folks who are new to retracements can kind of get lost. The easiest way to start, if you're going to do an intraday retracement drawing, is just use the trading hours only. So don't bother using the 24 hours. Just set your, you know, time frame to market open 9:30 Eastern to 4. Don't even use the 4:15 settlement. And you always start from the left side of your chart and go to the right. So like today we opened up and we move lower. So you're always starting from the left. And since we moved lower, you're going to be drawing kind of down with the downtrend, left to right. And so it gives you retracements to the downside shorts. And so the two most important like Fibonacci retracement levels that I pay attention to are the 50 and the 61.8. The 50 is technically not even a Fib number, but it's just kind of the halfway back point or the midpoint. And so I like to use that as sort of the entry zone or entry level. And then the 61A becomes kind of a failure point. So if the market, like today, we opened up and we moved down, and then if we bounce and we move up to that 50% point, that's where I want to look for an entry. And that entry could involve either just using a limit order at the 50% for taking a short. It can involve waiting for a candle to close at the 50% and then taking a short, just below that candle. So there's a number of ways you could go about actually placing your order, but the 50% is where I like to look to enter. And what ends up happening is you get this downtrend in this case, and then the market starts to go up. And so people are throwing in the towel. They're looking to go long, but you know that, okay, if this larger trend is down, this short-term uptrend to the 50% retracement is just a temporary bounce. And so using the Fib tool, if you just come up to the 50%, you can use it as your entry. And then using the 61.8, kind of two-thirds of a retracement, that becomes the failure. So if we move outside of the 61.8, and more importantly, if we close a candle outside of the 61.8, then that trend is really in jeopardy of breaking down. You could say it's already failed, but nothing is 100% in trading. So we're just going for statistical odds. And so when you pair a break of the 61.8 with a break of a swing high, so in this case it's a short, that downtrend is now broken. If you get a break of the 61.8 and a break of a swing low, now that uptrend is broken. So those are the kind of the two things that I look for a break in trend. So like I said, the 50% is not really a fib number, it's just the halfway back point. So that's what I like to use for entry. The 61.8 is a fib number. That's your failure. That's where I like to put my stop, just above the 61.8 for a short. And then I've got a couple other numbers on here. The negative 23.6, that's what I like to use for a target. And that is that's essentially roughly 23% beyond where the low was, in this case for a short. So, we know that the market doesn't go straight up and straight down. It kind of stair steps its way. And so using that as a general projection doesn't mean you have to take the trade off there, but just kind of using it as a projection of this is where, we'd likely head towards if we break lows in a short. That's a really good number to use. And then the other one I have there is the minus 61.8. So that's roughly 60% beyond, in this case, lows. And that's kind of a extended target, like a little bit further out there target, to where if we really get moving, that's a good spot to look for kind of a short-term bounce. And so a lot of times we'll kind of stair step our way, go from a 50% down to the negative 23.6, and then bounce up to the next 50, and then go, down to the next negative 23.6. And you kind of just continue that pattern down, down, down until you break the 61.8 and break the swing high. And so trading with the trend would look like this. You have a series of retracements that are going from the 50% down to the negative 23, then up to the 50%, down to the negative 23. So you have this continued trend of lower highs and lower lows, and you're maybe taking the second one or the third one in the trend and either getting out at the negative 23 and then getting back in at the 50, or simply trailing your stop on the way down. So you can just get in on, let's say, the first one here, put your stop above the 61.8, and then draw up the next retracement and put your stop above that 61.8, and then just keep going. The next retracement, you draw that up, put your stop above the 61.8 until you get taken out. And what's hard for most people is the first, like your initial stop placement. The time that it takes to go from you get in the trade to moving your stop to, like a break even, or getting into profitable territory where your worst case scenario is now profitable. That's usually the longest chunk, and that's hard for people because you're sitting there, you're at risk of a full stop out. The trade is, if it's starting to go your way, maybe you're looking at decent profit on paper, but if you move your stop too early, then you run the risk of not making, let's say you're at 1-to-1 reward to risk. You risked 2 points and you're up 2 points on the trade. And so you might be afraid of giving back, seeing the trade turn around and go 4 points, from your 2 point profit to back to a full stop out. But if you move your stop too quickly, then you end up missing out on the 10 pointer that's just around the corner, that what that trade could turn into. So it's really important to manage your trades the same way every single time. And that's what helps keep your statistical edge uniform and give you good data. Otherwise, if you're constantly tweaking your entries and exits and how you manage your trades, and then you go through a trade log or your Excel spreadsheet of the last 50 trades, it's like, well, if you're changing so many variables, it's very difficult to come out with any kind of concrete conclusions. So one thing you can do to help with kind of finding a middle ground between not getting out of the trade too early, but also not just staying in the trade with a full stop out at risk when you're up 10 points or $20 on a swing trade on a stock. What you can do is set a smaller first target on just a small portion of the position. So if you're day trading, let's say you're trading two contracts, taking half of the position off at like a 1.5-to-1 reward to risk. So for the ES, for example, if you're using a 2 point stop, and if you set a 3 point target for just half of the position, so if you're trading four contracts, taking two off at 3 points, and then keeping the second two as your runner, what that does is it gives you a smaller target to be, shooting for. So you're really not swinging for a home run. You're just kind of doing the same swing or like the same golf stroke. And if you make a good contact with the ball, it's going to go straight down the fairway. And so if all you need is a 3 point first target to cut your risk in half, and then at that point you're usually able to start, moving your stop closer to break even, if not at break even. Now you're in profitable territory, and then since you already locked in that profit, now you can sit in the trade longer without this fear of it going against you. And so then you're able to stay in the trade longer by trailing your stop on the second half of the position. So let's say you're trading, Apple or any individual stock on a swing trade, and you got 100 shares. You could take half off or even a little less than half just to lock in a little bit of profit. You don't want to take it, you don't want to take risk $5 and take half your position off at a dollar. That's bad reward to risk. So every chunk, if you've got 100 shares and you're going to take off 25 shares at a time, you don't want to take bad reward to risk on any specific chunk. So 1.5 times, on a swing trade, if you want to do 1-to-1, that would be okay if you're doing less than half of the position off at the start, or like at a smaller target, or what you risked. If you risked $100, and you got a big jump the first day and you want to pull off $100 to essentially cover your risk, it really helps you stay in the trade longer because mentally you're kind of playing with the house's money now. And so then you can continue to scale out on the way to, as far as the trade's going to go. But the idea from there is you want to keep as many contracts or shares on for as long as possible. So if you get in a swing trade and you get a big pop the first day and you want to take a little bit off just to ensure that you're locking in some profit, that's totally fine. And then you have some more wiggle room. And then let's say you go another 3 or 4 days and they kind of go sideways, and then it gets another big jump. And now you're at like 2-to-1 reward to risk. And out of those 100 shares, let's say you took 25 off right away, and then you want to take another 25 off. Scaling out like that can be a really good way to stay in those trades longer, as opposed to, getting in with 25 shares. And then let's say it starts to go in your favor and you add another 25 shares, and then goes a little more in your favor and you add another 25 shares and you get up to 100 shares. Well, now your average price is kind of going up with the trade. And if it pulls back just a tiny bit, now your risk goes up even further. So that's why I prefer to go all in and then scale out, as opposed to, scaling in like you might with a long-term retirement account where you're just constantly buying shares. Well, that continual buy of, buying a couple shares every month, it's adding to your principal, which is paying you out a dividend, which is reinvesting. And so the time frame, there's a lot of variables that are different in that type of situation why you would want to do kind of a scaling in approach. Number one reason being you probably don't have $1 million at 20 to invest and let sit. So you're growing as you gather more money. Whereas with like short-term trading, especially one of the benefits with day trading futures, you can take that same $10,000 or $20,000 and use it day after day after day. And so percentages aren't, I don't find those super helpful with trading with like day trading futures. Oh, I made 5% on this trade or 50% on this trade, because you're reusing the same money over and over again. Whereas swing trading, percentages can be useful if you do it the right way. The catch with swing trading sometimes is if you're only risking 1% per trade and you make 20% on that trade, you have to look at, okay, well, how does that return? Let's say you made $1,000 on a trade and you have a $100,000 account. Well, that might be a 50% return on that one trade, but it's only 1% of the total account. So if you get to the end of the year and you had all these great swing trades, but you only ended the year up 10% of the total account value, well, you got to ask yourself, are you better off just sticking your cash into a growth stock mutual fund and, an ETF, Vanguard fund with low overhead and not trading it? And using that time to do something else, or, because you want to be, at least in the 20% plus, if you're going to be swing trading. So make sure you take a close look at like how much percentage of the total account you're risking and what kind of return that can be in relationship to the total account. So just a little caveat for swing trading, because sometimes that can trip people up in thinking that, oh, I made 50% on this trade. Well, if you barely risked anything, and then you've got all this cash sitting there doing nothing, what's your next best alternative of putting that cash to work? So that's a little bit about the just drawing traditional retracements. Now, sometimes the market really gets ripping. And when you get in a situation like that, it might look like a bull flag or a bear flag, or the market's just, going straight down, or straight up. But a lot of the times it's when the market's selling off hard that you end up using some of these extensions, as they're called. So you're still drawing from left to right, but the difference is instead of, so this would be the traditional retracement that we just looked at. You're going from a swing high to a swing low. And you notice that as the market bounced here, it didn't go all the way to the 50%. So rather than trying to, incorporate other fib numbers, and trying to get in at various fib levels, I like to keep things as consistent, as simple as possible. So I'm always trying to get into the 50 as opposed to jumping around this time and again, the 61.8 and the 50 and the 23.6, yada, yada. What you can do is draw an extension. So that would be if you're long, a high to high, or if you're short, in this case, a low to low. So instead of this swing high to swing low, you would draw it like this. You would have a swing low to low. And so if the market is selling off hard or rallying hard, you can use that at the very least as a reference point. I don't go too heavy in placing trades at extensions because, by definition, the market is extended. And if I haven't already gotten in the trade earlier, then now there's a good chance that it's a little bit too late. Now, if you're day trading and it's early in the day, it can be okay because, sometimes you get these giant trend days and we trend all the way into the close. But if you're getting into like that, it's already 90 minutes into the day or going into the lunchtime, lunch hour, then your chances of trending hard at that point, drop off quite a bit. So you're going to see this in a very strong market. And like I said, you can kind of think about a bull flag or a bear flag. That's the times where you're going to see an extension come into play. And then sometimes It's just too late. So you don't want to chase it. You never want to chase it. If you, even if you just kind of goof up, if I, for some reason, goof up an entry, or I'm going to put in an order and it's, price is already through my level or touched my order and taken off. Okay, I missed it. It's there's going to be another trade, especially if you're day trading. I only trade the first 90 minutes of the day, and there are plenty of opportunities. But that being said, I'm perfectly okay not taking a trade if nothing sets up, because I would rather not dig myself a big hole that I have to fill in the next day before starting to, build my mountain, if you will. I'd rather just be standing on flat ground the next day and then building up from there than digging a big hole, trying to kind of fight my way to hit a daily profit goal. I'm not a huge fan of setting profit goals like per day, because what ends up happening is you'll set a goal. Okay, I want to make $500 a day. And then if it's a really good day, you might, make $500 in your first trade, and then you stop. And then on a bad day, the market's chopping around, there's just no trend, nothing's really clean, and you're like, okay, well, I'm up 100, I gotta find a way to get up to 500. And you force it, you force it, you force it, and you just bury yourself and dig a giant hole. And you left money on the table with the good day. So what I prefer to do is, on good days, where it seems, effortless and quite easy at times, I'll continue to trade on those days. And then on days where things are slow, I just shut down early and come back the next day. And so, month over month, you can kind of maybe get a better idea of, okay, if I'm trading four contracts, this is what my average winner is, my average losing rate, and you can kind of get an idea of how much you might be able to make per month. But from day to day and week to week, there's quite a bit more holes in my trade log, and days where it's like, oh wow, that was a really good Monday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday didn't have much anything, and then Thursday and Friday were okay. So that's just, after many, many years of doing this, you start to see patterns, and as traders, you see patterns everywhere. So as far as trade execution goes, waiting for a break of that swing high and swing low is super important. So if we're coming into, if you're not trading with the trend, so if you're not just taking a retracement long in an uptrend, sometimes, like I said, it's just the uptrend's been going on so long, or if you're trading intraday, there's all kinds of, you got uptrend, downtrend. Oh, here's 20 minutes of sideways. Now here's a half hour uptrend. And so getting into those new trends early is really beneficial, but you got to wait for that break of the swing high or the swing low to tell you, okay, our downtrend is now breaking. And so just drawing up the 50% retracement, you can go in and hide all the other fib numbers, just to clean up your chart. I don't like to have a whole bunch of junk on my chart. I really like, for ES trading, I'm basically just using the fib retracement tool, and I also use the NICE tick, and that's it. And obviously my trade ladder to place the trades. But from a charting perspective, it's just, I mean, I can do it all on one, little 17-inch screen if I had to. I like having a second monitor, but really, you don't need six monitors with 50 charts on your screen. It's just too much to look at and process, and that can lead into a lot of hesitation or kind of paralysis. So I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit and going off on some slight tangents, but a lot of that stuff, you don't even realize it, and it can really hinder your trading. I used to have a time in sales running on my chart, and it's like, it just, you got to ask yourself, okay, is this helping me enter, exit, or manage the trade? Like, am I using this chart or this tool to do one of those three things? And if you don't have a specific criteria that you're looking at that specific chart for, just get rid of it and simplify your screen, simplify your desk, simplify your whole life, and that will really help. So place the orders at the 50%. That's what I like to do, with the stop outside of the 61.8, and then kind of using that negative 23% target is like your general projection, if you will. And so the nice thing about using retracements is that that's always going to be, roughly 4 to 1. So like the distance between the 50 and the 61/8 is, roughly a quarter of the distance between the 50 to that -23/6. By the time you get your one tick to get in, and then a little wiggle room for entry and exit, because price has to trade through your order to get that limit order filled. You're looking at like 4 to 1. So whether it's a little 3-point retracement drawing on a small 512 tick chart, or whether you're drawing in a daily and if you're taking a 60-point range, that relationship is always going to be about 4 to 1. So that's nice. You don't have to adjust and make tweaks for volatility and the summer being slower and smaller intraday ranges and that kind of stuff. So then once you get in the trade, you can do a couple of things. You can just trail the next retracement. You can even just trail each candle if you want. Put your stop underneath each candle if you're really moving fast. You can trail swing lows, for an uptrend, trail the swing lows. And if you can be patient at the start, not every trade is just going to come down perfect and bounce off the 50%. But if you can be a little bit patient at the start, then once it gets away from your order, and especially like once it breaks what I call the anchor point, so this swing high up here, or even if we just touch the high and would make a double top, that's a good point to move your stop to break even, because you're far enough away from your entry that it's got some wiggle room. You're also, if you were to draw up the next retracement from the entry up to that double top or that swing high, it's going to be below the 61/8. So that's kind of the point that I use to go, okay, I'm going to move my stop to break even, and then I can start trailing from there. And it doesn't take too long. If you're on a daily or a weekly chart, obviously it's going to take longer than if you're on a 1 minute or a 5 minute, but relative to the time frame, that can be the very start of the trade, and then it can really rip from there. So a couple of helpful tips as we kind of wrap up here. Not using the overnight data to draw your retracements is very, very helpful. So just starting at market open, I typically only look at the trading hours only data when I'm trading intraday. I'll glance at the overnight just to see, oh, did we trend? Were we sideways? Sometimes there's a number an hour before the bell, like a news announcement, and you might get a change in direction or a big shift from there. But looking coming into the day, I kind of glance at that overnight trade a little bit, and then I'm just looking at like the prior day's high, low, and close, and then where we're going to open today in relation to that. We do have a small gap. Today we didn't really have much of a gap at all. Real tiny one from Friday. And or do we have a big gap, or are we, a monster gap at the open? So that's really the main couple things I look at right as we're starting to open, get closer to the bell. Intraday trading, the 5 minutes, always a good one to start with. So if you're, looking at the ES or NASDAQ or YM or whatever, 5 minutes a good chart to start on, because there's not going to be as much noise as like a 1 minute chart. But it's also giving you enough trades. If you're looking at a 30 minute or an hourly, it's going to take a long time for a retracement to set up. And then you can also use what I call like a micro time frame, so a 512 tick chart. So instead of a time based chart, 1 minute, 5 minute, 15 minute, the 512 tick is taking the chart and forming each candle every time 512 transactions take place. And so that, if you didn't have an x-axis, it could look just like a 5 minute chart, but it's going to be slightly different, a lot smaller, certainly than a 5 minute chart. But it's really good for e-mini trading, and a lot of futures markets, because if you were to look at a 512 tick chart at the 9:30 open, the candles are going to form really, really fast because there's lots of transactions happening. If you were to look at it, after hours, Globex, it might take 5 minutes for a candle to form sometimes. So you get this sense of speed and pace and kind of volume built into the chart. It's not super popular, so it's a good one to do retracements on, and it's a good starting point. There's lots of different tick values you could use, but 512 is a good one to start with on the E-minis. You always want to draw left from right. We talked about that, and finding those swing highs and swing lows is also really important. And then pairing a break of a swing high and swing low with the failure of the 61.8. Look for both of those to happen before you can really determine, okay, the trend is changing. And then, one final note is just that there's really no shortcut or substitute for the time in front of the screen to really become comfortable with placing the trades, being familiar with the, drawing the retracements. It doesn't have to be during market open, but it's probably best when it is, just because the markets are forming in real time and you can be drawing retracements. And then you can kind of go back at the end of the day and compare the trades that you took, even if it's on a paper account when you're practicing, compare the trades you took with, what you see in hindsight, and what you're make a couple of notes on what you think the trend's going to be for that day and why. And it could just be a couple of words even, but just kind of building that intuition so that it aligns with, the correct direction. A lot of times new traders come to trading and then they're kind of always doing the opposite. And so you have to train your brain. If every time you're on the wrong side of the trade, well, then just, as soon as you're about to click buy, click sell. That's an easy one, but jokingly, but in a lot of ways, our biases are basically opposite. So if you can slowly shift that by making a couple of notes and looking at the trades you took versus going through at the end of the day when things are more cut and dry, then you'll start to notice little nuances at the start of the trades. Look at a similar trade setup. Double bottoms and double tops are really good, good ones to look for. Then you just, oh, here's another double bottom. I saw a setup just like this on Thursday. It doesn't mean that it's going to work out exactly the same, but you get a handful of different setups with a couple of criteria, and you can get your whole trading plan down to a 3x5 note card, and you just carry that around with you in your laptop. And that's when you can, sit down, plug into the internet, and you can pretty much trade from anywhere. And that's when you have that kind of, I guess, confidence. I don't love that word, but just, overall mastery of the basics, then you really don't have to think as much and you can execute very, very well. So if you work smart, you're patient, and you stay disciplined, over time, you can really turn into a very, very good trader. Some people it takes 7-8 months. Some people it might take 2 years, but working smart and kind of being really focused for shorter periods of time is what I find works best. If you're younger and kind of college age, then there's just something different about your brain where you can, sit there all day long and stay up till 2 in the morning looking at charts. And that can be an efficient way to gain a lot of information really quickly. But for most folks who are later in life and have a lot of other obligations and families and other kind of things, being smart about your efforts and staying patient is really important. So you can got lots of stuff over E-mini Mind videos and trades and trade recap videos and all kinds of stuff like that. You can check out, and if you have questions, you can always shoot me an email directly, tim@eminimind.com. So thanks for tuning in today. Lots of great presenters still on tap this afternoon, and hope you all have a great rest of your day and great week of trading.